The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
We know all too well the impact that the spread of viruses can have on our globe. But what of the people who are investigating the source of these viruses and how they might transmit to others and what the impact might be? Well, joining me now is Dr. Gavin Clougherty, PhD. He's head of infectious disease research at Abbott's Diagnostics Business. Good morning, Gavin, and welcome.
Morning, Pat.
Now, you've been looking to epidemiologists around the world who are attempting to predict what lies ahead for all of us.
Indeed, we have, yes. As the Abbott Pandemic Defense Coalition sponsored a survey of epidemiologists around the world to try and get a beat on what they thought on some important questions relating to the next pandemic.
Now, they were evenly split, it would appear, on whether a new pathogen might be responsible for the next pandemic or whether it would be a variation on an existing one.
That's correct. Yes, there was a pretty even split on that. 94% of them did feel that the next pandemic would be caused by a virus, which was, a pretty strong response. And I think, programs that are ongoing around the world and networks looking at how known pathogens are evolving and also looking for new ones remain incredibly important.
Now, we're always talking about viruses coming to attack us, but of course there are bacterial infections, there are fungal infections, there are parasitic infections. How dangerous might all of those be?
I think we have to look at all of them holistically, and really it all starts with a patient sitting in front of a doctor who's trying to get an accurate diagnosis and looking for those unusual and sometimes serious cases where a diagnosis is not possible, and then investigating those further to see if the cause is a known virus that's evolved and has changed, or a bacteria that is yet unrecognized, or fungus or parasite, as you mentioned.
Now, the question of dangerous viruses, I mean, there may be a virus that is dangerous to some, but not to others, or a bacterium which is dangerous to some people, but not to others. So the question of who might be vulnerable, is a particular microbe likely to lead to a pandemic, or might it just be a local phenomenon?
You know, I think if it's a pandemic, it's a global concern, and the pathogens that we look at in those cases are ones that can infect broadly. Obviously, and as we saw with COVID-19, there are vulnerable populations such as the elderly, the immunocompromised, people who have other morbidities, other illnesses that might make them susceptible to these pathogens.
Mm. Now, obviously, the ones that are most transmissible are the ones that we worry most about, I suppose, because the spread could be very fast long before action could be taken against them.
Yeah, the experts agreed that transmissibility was the most important factor. And you can see, as we saw with COVID-19, that this was one of the most dangerous parts. People or aspects of the virus, people were unaware they were infected and were transmitting it to other people. And while they may not be susceptible to serious illness, others that they may transmit it to, such as, elderly or vulnerable populations, they would ultimately pay a more serious price.
Now, I remember going back to the beginning of the COVID-19 epidemic, and we all believed that based on the evidence of a choir in the United States, that people were picking up the infection by touching the chairs that had been moved around. And it took quite a while for people to realize this is airborne. This is spread by aerosols.
Yes, and aerosols will settle on chairs, and that can be a potential route of transmission. But I think what's important as we look with new and emerging threats is to acknowledge what we know and what we don't know, and be transparent about that. And as the research and findings progress, then we'll understand more and be able to inform the community better.
Now, one of the most dangerous things, I suppose, is something that's making people sick, but for whom or for which as yet there is no test.
You know, that is a critical part. And we did see with COVID-19 pandemic, the critical role that diagnostics play in stemming the tide. The first step to seeking care is understanding what's making you sick. So an accurate diagnosis is really important, not just in terms of pandemics, but just in general. You know, 70% of clinical decisions are driven by a diagnostic test result. In the case of emerging infectious threats, you know, understanding whether you're infected or not can even change your behavior, help you self-quarantine, and can help a physician guide his recommendations and therapies.
Now, we all know the methods of transmission by nature are quite ingenious. And I suppose the most familiar thing people would think of in terms of a creature spreading a disease would be mosquitoes and malaria.
Right.
What other kinds of creatures might be spreading disease to us?
Well, ticks and biting insects, midges, can also transmit illness. Mosquitoes are quite rightly the ones that are most prominent in people's minds. And the respondents to this survey, 61%, you know, believed that a mosquito-borne pathogen was the highest risk. But we are seeing illnesses that are being transmitted by ticks and other biting insects. I would say Lyme's disease in the U.S. is an example, or severe fever with thrombocytopenia syndrome virus. I know that's a mouthful, but that's one that's emerging in Asia that's tick-borne. There's Oropouche virus that's in South America that's emerging and infecting a lot of people, and that's been transmitted in addition by biting midges, Culicoides midges.
So the question of climate change and how that might influence which diseases are going to come at us in the coming decades, is climate change a factor that you're looking at?
Well, several of our Abbott Pandemic Defense Coalition partners are researching this space. And I think it's an important consideration when you think about the mosquitoes and midges and ticks, et cetera, that we just described, and changes in weather patterns and climate can influence where they're found and the ranges that they can occupy and thrive in, which then would enable them to transmit to people in those regions. And people are also moving from one area to another, often based on climate conditions in a specific region. And that can put them in closer contact with these insects or the animals that these insects normally would feed on. And that's kind of a collision course that can lead to an emerging infectious outbreak.
Now, we don't see mosquitoes in Ireland, do we? Well, not yet.
Right. And that's an important point that, again, back to the ranges where you start to see mosquitoes living and specific species of mosquitoes that can carry these viruses. So not all mosquitoes carry all viruses. So it's certain species. And we're starting to see some of those in Southern Europe and Italy. You know, in one study that we conducted, we were seeing the strain of West Nile virus that we were finding in Senegal was also the same as one that's showing up in Italy. So there's kind of cross pollination, if you like, but you know, caused often by birds and migratory animals. So West Nile virus is transmitted by mosquitoes, but also carried by birds that can migrate from Africa to Europe and vice versa.
And so you have someone from West Kerry who takes the bus, the train, the car to Dublin Airport, hops on a plane, goes to southern Italy, and picks up a mosquito who manages to survive in the suitcase to come back and kill people in Kerry.
You know, yes, that would be a pretty bleak scenario. Obviously, the mosquito would need to be able to survive and thrive in Kerry, and I'm not sure if the conditions are quite right for it yet. But it definitely is something. You know, the how the environment is changing is something that needs to be kept in mind and looked at holistically, as well as human mobility and the encounters with animal populations.
Yeah. Mind you, we've had these strange, exotic Australian spiders arriving home in our returning doctor's suitcases.
I wasn't aware of that. Yes.
Yeah, there have been strange critters found here, but so far they haven't led to any outbreak of disease. So these epidemiologists and others who are scanning the horizon for potential threats, how exactly do they coordinate their work?
Well, excuse me, the partners who are working as part of the Abbott Pandemic Defense Coalition, we have a network of collaborators, over 20 sites in 19 countries on five continents that are actively working together and coordinating through our network. We're also engaged with other networks around the world, such as the Global Virus Network, the CREED Network, the Global Influenza Hospital Surveillance Network. These networks are engaged in similar or adjacent activities, and trying to increase the amount of communication between them is important to, in a sense, network the networks so that we can better protect the population for the future.
What do we need to do to try to keep humankind safe? I mean, there is a perception, maybe given the development very quickly of the RNA-derived vaccines in the case of COVID, that science will find a way, and will find a way quickly.
You know, I think the developments of science and advances in science are amazing, and we need to continue to develop those. But what we saw with COVID-19 is that we need to be ever vigilant. And I think the respondents to this survey did give a sense of urgency, in that 3 out of 4 of the respondents thought there would be another pandemic within the next 5 to 25 years. And so that's relatively near term. And they encouraged, focus on surveillance systems and surveillance programs for emerging pathogens, such as, you know, vector-borne surveillance. We were talking about mosquitoes and ticks, et cetera, or traveler-based screening. You were talking about the doctor coming back to carry our wastewater surveillance that we have seen being so effective during COVID-19. Just screening electronic health records in hospitals and other care facilities to look for flags that we should be aware of. But also building and funding the public health infrastructure, testing infrastructure, you know, training the next generation of epidemiologists and infectious disease doctors so that we are prepared. Because ultimately, it's important that we have vaccines, but it's also important that we have the healthcare professionals that are needed in case of another pandemic.
How significant is the threat from so-called superbugs? These are bugs that have developed a resistance to the current antibiotic treatments that are available. And we hear about tuberculosis, for example, as being one such condition that has that in some parts of the world is very, very difficult to treat.
Yeah, you know, antimicrobial resistance is definitely a concern. And a major concern for public health globally. I think it's really, if you think about it, important to get an accurate diagnosis, because the first step is understanding if you actually have a bacteria that needs to be treated. So getting that accurate diagnosis and understanding if it's a virus that's making you sick or a bacteria, so that the appropriate care can be given and the appropriate treatments can be given, is incredibly important, as well as the ability to, or the fortitude to send somebody home with the advice that it's a virus and, you know, just chicken soup and rest is important, as opposed to a prescription for antibiotics.
But the question of developing new antibiotics, I mean, have we reached the end of the line in terms of novelty in antibiotic development?
So that's not an area that I'm actively working in the drug development space. So I think, you know, I can tell you that it is important that we are screening and understanding how these microbes are changing and evolving, and developing the systems whereby people can get accurately diagnosed and get appropriate care.
We're always trying to console ourselves that we're better off than other people. We live in a very moderate climate and we don't have a lot of those critters that go around biting people and infecting people. But we also live in a relatively uncrowded country. And I presume population density has a lot to do with mortality.
Well, I think, you know, proximity to other people does lend itself to transmission. So there is an element of that. But, you know, I think you also pointed out people getting on airplanes, moving around. So I don't think anybody can really be complacent.
Well, we were talking about this before the interview with one of my researchers, and we were concerned about what these infections might do to us. And he just laughed and said, but sure, climate change will have destroyed the planet before then.
Wow.
And he's only a young fella, I can tell you that.
Bleak outlook.
Bleak outlook indeed. Anyway, Gavin, thank you very much for joining us. Dr. Gavin Clarity is Head of Infectious Disease Research for Abbott's Diagnostics Business. Gavin, thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Take care.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.